We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Don't go anywhere, Carol. I got this for you here.
Happy birthday, a little late.
Remember this terrible song that we came up with last year?
Well,
Dave Klein found it. Oh. It's producer Dave Klein, who found it.
I thought it was you.
It's a great song, though.
No, it's not.
Maybe I did find it. I'll take credit for it.
Oh, yeah.
But it was your birthday yesterday. I always remember your birthday because it's my mother's birthday as well. In fact, she said, tell Carol happy birthday.
And I said in a text to you yesterday, tell your mom happy birthday.
I did, and I did that last night. So what's funny is that I was texting you yesterday at like 2:07.
Exactly.
I thought you were here. I was out sick and you were off yesterday.
Exactly. And I thought, why is he texting me? But then I thought, well, the news is on still. Mm-hmm. He's got a minute to go. But I thought it was very odd because at 2:07, you were either in the newsroom, in the producer booth, or in this studio getting ready to go back on.
I was
or you're
on my
running
couch.
Down the hallway.
I was on my couch. Gasping for life, watching Sneaky Pete on Amazon Prime.
Oh,
that's what I was
doing.
But I thought of you because actually I was trying to get hold of my mom, and she was, I've told you this before, she was gambling yesterday. There's a big shocker. She was
you
up in Michigan at a casino for her birthday, and she never got in touch with me the whole day. Like, I sent her a text.
Really? She never responded?
Well, she finally did. Like, they called last night, but, you know, I sent her a text early in the day. And they're coming in this weekend. They're actually coming.
Is she one-armed bandit type, or is she playing?
Oh, no, she likes
blackjack. Or
here's what's interesting. I didn't know she doesn't play blackjack. That would actually be entertaining seeing my mom play blackjack. But she didn't tell me last night about her big winnings, which seemed to indicate that there were no big winnings.
Oh, because if she does win, she usually tells you.
Oh my goodness, there's a news release that goes out. There's usually a news conference.
Gosh. Wow.
But she does pretty well for herself.
You know, I got to tell you that when I'm driving along and I see these billboards, like right now, I think somebody's casino's giving away, you know, $250,000 in Mercedes. Those kind of things make me think a couple of seconds, like I should go and try to win a Mercedes, but then I never do.
Yeah, with gambling, it's always interesting because I know this, and I've said this, and I think anybody who gambles will tell you this. Like, when I go to the track and I win big, you want to tell everyone that you won big, but you don't want to tell people when you blew through that other wad of cash that you shouldn't have.
I wouldn't want to say either because I think that, first of all, I wouldn't tell anybody while I'm there that I won big because am I going to make it to my car?
I'm talking about friends and family.
Oh, right.
Then
I don't know a lot of people who gamble, so I would feel kind of embarrassed to tell them that I gamble.
You don't know a lot of people who gamble?
I do not know a lot of people who gamble.
Come on over to the dark side, Carol. I can introduce.
No. But yesterday I was shoe shopping. Patrick took me shoe shopping. So that's a gamble.
You did text me that. Well, this next segment, you don't have to stay, but I want to tell you, you deserve credit because Big Brothers Big Sisters held something on Sunday night at the Sheldon.
The big event.
The big event.
Yes.
And I was honored to be asked to MC last year during your birthday. So this goes back a year ago.
Yes.
Put this challenge out to people.
I did.
That said, look, Big Brothers Big Sisters, there's all these kids out there. There's this huge waiting list.
1,000 kids.
Right. And they still, so if everyone could use this a little bit. And I thought to myself, it's been something I had wanted to do for a while. But of course, you always come back to, I'm too busy. I don't have time for this.
Right.
I got kids on my own. But I committed to it. Because of you, and I got involved, and I have an awesome little brother, Cameron.
No.
We've hung out many times since last summer.
You took him to
summer.
A concert, or you took him to a hockey game?
You got to fist bump all the players, and it's really cool. But Becky Hatter's on the phone with me from Big Brothers Big Sisters. Hi, Becky.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Carol's leaving because she's got to do the newscast, but thank you so much for inviting me the other night, and I wanted to have you on. First of all, explain what the big event was.
So once a year, we take time out to really celebrate our little brothers and little sisters. So the big event is our opportunity to congratulate our high school graduates that are now moving on to our Big Futures program. And this year we had 85 high school graduates. And then we also take time to recognize four kids in our program. Their big brothers or big sisters have nominated them for awards in courage, creativity, compassion, and perseverance. So we take one night out and really celebrate how amazing our little brothers and little sisters are.
So I played a very small part in this, doing some introductions, and I'm sitting there watching these kids take the stage and seeing some videos of their stories, and you didn't warn me that this would become very emotional, because I'm like choking back tears through some of this stuff, Becky, the other night.
Well, no, we did. We try to let people come in there and have whatever emotion they're going to have. But we know, I cry at every single board meeting, and that's not a joke. And the board never understands it until they start seeing these videos. I mean, what our kids are capable of doing with the trusting hand and love of a volunteer and other caring adults is amazing. So, you know, kids are emotional, and I'm glad you felt it the other night.
Well, and here's what's right awesome there. About this program, too. And I want you to give the pitch for getting people signed up, and I'm on limited time here, so I'm going to let you do that in a second. But one thing that I've learned, I think, over the course of being a Big Brother, and I certainly saw this on display the other night, is that these bigs get just as much out of this as the littles, don't they? If not more.
Yes, well, I've never met a big, and next year will be 30 years with Big Brothers and Big Sisters. I've never met a big brother who did not say, or a big sister that did not say, I thought I was in it for them, but I actually am staying in it for myself because I am becoming a better person because of my little brother or little sister. So I think what's important for the audience to know is your job as a big is to be there, to show this child love and hope and show them the opportunities. It's 4 hours a month. And we have 1,000 kids on the waiting list. And I just know there are 1,000 people in the audience that can step up.
So the message I had the other night is, and I go back to a year ago, because look, we all, and I don't want to say it's an excuse. Look, everyone's busy. I'm busy. I'm just a guy who talks on the radio, and I'm still busy. But you can carve out 4 hours a month. I've taken Cameron to the hockey game. I've taken him to movies, and we've just hung out a few times. I've taken him up to my friend in Staunton, Illinois, Ron Scheller. We've gone beaver trapping, so we're doing some fishing here in a few weeks, and it's fun to do. And if people want to get signed up, even if I can just get a few people inspired this afternoon to contact you guys, go to the website. Is that the easiest way?
The best way to just go to the website and just click on the volunteer now, and you can get right in, and our staff will call you within about 24 hours.
Becky Hatter, thanks for inviting me to be a part of this the other night. It was awesome. And you betcha, you sent me an email. You said, are you in for next year? I'm in for next year. I'll do this absolutely next year.
Okay, Mark, thank you so much. And thanks for, most of all, being a big brother. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Becky. We'll see you soon.
See you.
Get signed up. Really, it's a great, great program. And I'm so glad that I decided to do it last year. All right. Trying to get back into the swing of things here this afternoon, and when I was hanging out over the weekend doing some, you know, just kind of checking out some of the sites that I regularly do, I came across a piece from my former colleague and my friend, Charlie Sykes, who worked with me up at WTMJ in Milwaukee, and he wrote a story, he wrote a column about somebody that I know very well, and actually the daughter of someone I know, and some of you might remember this, so John Jagler is a guy who used to do news in Milwaukee. He's a state representative in the state of Wisconsin right now. And I remember when his daughter was born because we worked together 20 years ago. And his daughter, Gracie, just turned 21 years old. And she has Down syndrome. But her story is kind of amazing. And that's what Charlie wrote about. And he referenced Ruth Marcus, who is a big lefty who made this comment a few weeks ago. With a column headlined, I would have aborted a fetus with Down syndrome. Women need that right. So Charlie's column, which ended up going national, was in the Weekly Standard, said, a mother of two, Marcus wrote that she was old enough to be tested for Down syndrome after the 15th week of her pregnancy. I can say without hesitation, she wrote, that tragic as I would have felt and ghastly as a second trimester abortion would have been, I would have terminated those pregnancies had the testing come back positive. I would have grieved the loss and moved on. Now, what Charlie wrote is, I would have liked to have taken Ms. Marcus to Gracie Jagler's 21st birthday party. And at that point, I'm going to hand it off to my buddy John Jagler, who I mentioned is a state rep up in Wisconsin. He's the father of Gracie Jagler. How are you, buddy?
Fantastic, Mark. How are you doing?
It's good. Things are good down here, and I haven't talked to you in a while, so it's great to hook up. Now, I reminded my audience, I want you to give a little bit of background here on Gracie, because a few years ago, she had this entrepreneurial idea with dog treats that just exploded, didn't it?
Yeah, it's really just been unbelievable. And it really started, Mark, because of a lack of opportunities for her with employment opportunities after school. She just turned 21. In fact, her 21st birthday fell on March 21st, last week, World Down Syndrome Day. And she just didn't, there really wasn't anything that was a good fit for her out in the community. There were some offers that just wouldn't fit her. There were like unloading the candy at a local convenience store, at five in the morning, three times a week. And not that that's not a great job, it just wouldn't have fit with her personality.
Right, right.
We brainstormed. She loves our three rescue dogs, and we started this dog treat business, and it's just been nuts. Gracie's Doggy Delights has taken off. It's actually turned into, to be honest, really, Mark, it's grown beyond just Gracie. It's our whole family involved now, and it's one of those things where we're probably getting ready to get a facility, and we're working with the local school district to possibly hire some of her old classmates where she can be a boss, and some of those people like Grace who want to work but couldn't find an opportunity. Well, we're certainly sympathetic to that, and we'd love to make her the boss of a bunch of people.
Well, John, I'm sure you remember a little bit of this because I had a brother who was born hydrocephalic, and he was in a little similar situation. He graduated here in St. Louis from the Parkway School District, but he was mainstreamed from special education, did not quite have the capability to go to college, but then he ended up working in the mailroom at Household Finance, and he had a great, great life until he was 27 years old. So, my parents have had challenges, putting me aside, big enough challenge, with some of the things that you've also gone through. But Charlie's column was very impactful, and I just want your reaction to that. You're quoted heavily in this. The message being, look, you have kids out there, my brother being one of them, your daughter, who just turned 21 and is immensely happy and successful, has a great family, being another one of them. Thousands of people listening right now that had, and I hate to make this just about abortion, but look, had they made that decision, you would not have seen these lives thriving like this.
You know, one of the things that really just stuck to me about that article is that Ms. Marcus wrote was, this is not the child I wanted. And Mark, she's not picking out a snack at the Washington Post vending machine. This child didn't ask to come into this world. We know how babies are created now. This child did not ask to be brought into this world, and this is not the baby I wanted. Well, that's really on a creepy slope, really, if you think about it. And, what's the ultimate outcome here? If did you want a blonde kid?
right.
I don't want to take it to extremes, but. But I mean, that really struck me as this is not the child I wanted. And the other thing, right now, when Grace was born, she has an older sister, Sarah. And this young resident doctor told me, because I was freaking out.
Of course.
What kind of, what's her health going to be? What's her future going to be? Will she ever drive? Will she ever work? What's this going to be like? What's her life going to be like? Will she ever work? All of these things going through my head. And he said, hey, how old's her sister? I said, well, Sarah at the time was two. I said, Sarah's two. He said, what's her life going to be like? Is she going to have any health problems? Is she going to have a good moral compass? Is she not going to end up in jail? Is she going to be wealthy? Is she going to go to college? You don't know that. Why project your fears for Grace if you don't project them from Sarah?
Yeah, it's tough to do, but I understand his advice. Hang on, John, because this is awkward. We do this contest every afternoon, so hold on.
Now, the Spring Break Cash Escape Keyword.
This hour's code word is gone. If you text the word gone to 72881 by the end of the hour, message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. For rules, visit KMOX.com. One randomly selected nationwide entrant will win $1,000. And again, the code word is gone. And John Jagler, amongst a lot of other people, or above a lot of people, will appreciate that because you were a radio guy for a long time.
Absolutely.
So I had to get that in there. But yes, so you have to come to terms with that as a parent. But that, as you mentioned, had to be frightening. But I would say 21 years after she was born, I got to know you. We started working together right after she was born, I think, in 1997. Yeah. And I don't think you ever imagined how fulfilled her life could be for her and also for your family.
No, it's been an amazing thing for us. It really has. as I say, she makes me a better person every day, which really makes you, those who know me, wonder how creepy I was, you know, before she was born.
I was going to say that, John, but yes.
But she's been a gift and a blessing. And I'll tell you, Mark, for those parents right now that are facing this decision, if they get this news on this test, it's so clear that doctors are steering them towards abortion. It's happening not just in other countries like Iceland, where they say they've eradicated Down syndrome by aborting all fetuses that get that diagnosis, but it's happening in this country too. And what I would say to those parents is, look, this is the best time in the world in history for kids with developmental disabilities to be born. So much that we know about health, so much that we know about education opportunities, doors are being opened with school choice programs and others, and employment opportunities and breaking down barriers and employers recognizing that this is just such a benefit. Not only is it the humane thing to do, but there could be so many benefits to having an employee with developmental disabilities in their shop. There's more opportunities than ever before for these people if they're allowed to live.
So
don't be scared.
Yeah, you know, it's a great message, John. And I love the when Charlie wrote this column, he did admit he knows Ruth Marcus just a little bit because he's like this regular feature on MSNBC, which I kid him about all the time. But he said, look, you know, she mentioned in that column, I think, that she had, let me see if I can get the quote right, because you respond to that in Charlie's column, said, I have respect and admiration for parents like John and Heidi Jagler. And your response was, he asked you, what do you think about the respect and admiration? Your response was what?
I reject it. I don't want her respect and admiration. If she wants to admire somebody, come see my kid work. Yeah. Come see my kid work her tail off. And you know what's awesome about Grace? She doesn't understand the money that she's making, which, by the way, has been a lot. Just want to say. She doesn't understand that part. But what she does, she's working just because she wants to make dogs happy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a pure joy. You want to admire somebody. Ruth Marcus, I'd love to have her up here in Wisconsin and just have her meet Grace and say, yeah, this is not the child you want to have. All I can say to Ruth Marcus is I hope the two children she does have don't ever disappoint her in any way, because they have to be the most perfect people in the world, because that's apparently her standard. So,
well, I think it's a great, I know that you probably appreciate that our mutual friend and former colleague Charlie Sykes wrote that column. It was an outstanding column on Weekly Standard. I can put it up on our website. And let's sell some dog treats right now, because last time I had you on, I think we did pretty well. So this is prime real estate here on KMOX that I'm offering up. The website is Gracie's. It's Gracie's Doggy with an IE, delights.com. Gracie's Doggy Delights. You can Google it. It's got Grace's picture up there. And what else do we need to know? There's all kinds of treats up there, right?
There's a ton. It's all natural, single ingredient treats. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. Give me 30 seconds after we hang up. I'll create a coupon code, MARK. And if they put MARK in, they'll get 10%. How about that?
Look 10%. At that. I didn't even expect that. So the coupon code. I'll tell you what. Let's do KMOX. Can you do KMOX?
I can do KMOX, absolutely.
Yeah, let's do KMOX. People don't like me very much, so we'll do. They like the station more than me. So let's do KMOX, graciesdoggydelights.com, and order some dog treats, right? There's chicken heart delights, there's beef liver delights, there's turkey heart delights. All these things are packaged very well, and get some dog treats.
This wouldn't work if the treats weren't fantastic. I kind of feel bad for giving them a discount, because it's kind of like a drug dealer. Your dog's not... Their dogs will not want any other treats after this.
How many schnauzers do you have right now, Jagler?
Sometimes it sounds like about 30, but we have three.
And they're all the ones that are in the picture up with Gracie.
Yeah.
Those are. What's the one that's real light colored? That's a cool looking schnauzer there.
That's little Liam, named after Liam Gallagher of Oasis.
What are the other names?
The younger brother, and Zoe and Frodo.
Frodo, Zoe, Liam. I love it. Well, John, it's great to have you back on the air. We touch base every once in a while. You know, I went and saw Springsteen on Broadway.
Did you really?
Yeah.
And you didn't take me? I thought we had a pack, man.
We do have kind of a pack. We went to an epic show in Chicago at the Chicago Stadium, or whatever they call that thing now, several years ago. That was a fun time.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you went and just broke our pack. So.
Next time. John Jagler, he's a state rep a Republican state rep in Watertown, Wisconsin. Tell Scott Walker I said hey, and Gracie's Doggy Delights, order some dog treats. The code is CAMOX. It'll be up there after, you know, give it a few minutes here. And John, so great to talk with you, and tell Gracie we said hey.
The best to all you guys there, Mark.
All right, take care. John Jagler. And in opening day is finally almost here. Tomorrow, New York City. You're going to hear it here on KMOX, which means I get another day off after being sick a couple of days this week. Kyle McClellan is with us this afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Well, I think that everyone's very excited about baseball finally being back.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's been a long winter, especially not after making the postseason for the last 2 years for the Cardinals. So they've made some moves. I think there's some optimism and some energy building. The team looked pretty good in spring training, and we'll see. These games, they matter now. These are the games that count.
So it's hard to gauge these things, but you know, maybe because we haven't made the playoffs in a couple of years, I sense that the fan base is more hungry than, you know, maybe even in the past few years to get this season going.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think this team needs to get off to a good start, because if they get off to a slow start and if they're losing ways that they've lost the last few years, I think fans are going to be upset. I think we're already seeing some of the numbers and attendance and season tickets and all that already kind of on the decline a little bit. And so they need to get off to a good start, give fans something to be excited about and show them that they're going to be in this thing here in the end.
All right, so we spoke on Friday for the regular Inside Pitch segment. Kyle will join me every Friday throughout the season right around 4:50 to talk baseball. And let's kind of recap spring training, the good, the bad, the ugly. Let's start with Jordan Hicks, because that's certainly the good, and he's added to the roster for opening day.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they use this kid. Look, he's been in A-ball, so he hasn't been in Double-A or Triple-A, and was actually sent out pretty early on in camp. Minor league camp hadn't even started yet. They sent him to step camp until that started, but he got a couple opportunities through injuries or whatever it was on the big field in front of the coaches and in front of big league players, and was really, really good. And so they go back and say, hey, we're going to bring you with us, and you're going to make the team. And Brevia is actually getting optioned down, who had a good spring and was really good last year. So his upside is through the roof of what this kid can do. He could be a lights-out closer. It's just, is his experience or inexperience going to cost him potentially of being able to do that quickly?
Is that a risky move when it comes to confidence as a pitcher or not?
I think, look, his stuff was so good and played so well here against the big leaguers here in spring training that ride it, see what happens. I mean, go in there, and if worst case scenario, say, hey, man, it was, you know, we pushed you and it just didn't work out. So go down there, continue to progress, but you're going to be on our short list to call up because we love your stuff. So I think you spin it as if it doesn't work, and I think it will. I just don't know what role. He's not going to come in and be your closer on day one. But I think they got to find the spot that he can go in and be successful in.
Yeah, you know, I asked you this on Friday, and I think you expressed some concern because this closer by committee idea, probably not the best path to take.
No, I usually don't see winning teams that are kind of patching it together. I think Dominic Leone is going to be the guy. He's been really good all spring, had a really good year last year. So he's certainly going to get the first opportunity, and then you go from there. Alex Reyes is coming back. Is there not a spot in the rotation? Do you put him in the bullpen? Does he end up being your closer? Or does Hicks take this role and run with it? So I think Leone's going to be your guy early on and see if he can kind of lock that down. But if not, they're trying to have as many quality arms in there as they can. And Hicks, I'm telling you, with his slider and his fastball, as he throws about 100 miles an hour, it is electric stuff that you can add to the back end of that bullpen.
Do you know Mike Maddux at all? Have you had a chance to get to know him?
I played for him in Texas, yeah.
You did? I had forgotten about that. So what do you think that he's bringing to this staff right now?
Well, I think it's going to be it'd be interesting to see how much different they go about managing the bullpen and things like that. Mike Mussini's done it pretty much on his own the last few years, and that's been one of his weaknesses. In terms of managing that bullpen, there's been some moves made and some guys that have been out there way too much. And so I think Mike Maddux is going to kind of rein that in a little bit. He's going to control that pitching staff a little bit more. But the guys like him in spring training. Some of the things he does is a little bit different than what they're used to doing. But that could be good to shake it up a little bit, take some of the successes he's had, along with the history and tradition of this organization and what they do in pitching, and see what happens from there.
And what's your assessment of Carlos Martinez right now? Let's talk about his new pitch, the cutter, because he's got a cutter, but obviously there's risk with new pitches, isn't there?
Well, his cutter's nasty. It's what we've seen. That's my concern. I'm concerned about Carlos Martinez. The fact that he only pitched in the big field in front of big league hitters, two big league hitters, three times, I think, all spring training, that's concerning to me. You can go on the backfields and you can work on things, but there's just no accountability. There's no big league presence back there. And so if you have a bad game, you can just kind of, you know, say, hey, no big deal. But it's one thing to go out in front of 7,000 people and have a bad game and in front of your teammates. So I'm definitely concerned about his spring training and lack of innings that he got on the big league field. But his stuff is so good. If he can just be in the strike zone, have his mechanics cleaned up, which is one of the reasons he went back there, then, you know, he can go out and have a great year. But that cutter that he's, and when I've seen it on the big field, it's just another nasty pitch that he possesses. But I'm not as concerned about that as I am as him being locked in and ready to go for this season.
Kyle McClellan with us this afternoon. All right, we talked about pitching. Let's talk about the offense. I think everybody's excited to see some of the new guys on the team, in particular Marcell Ozuna.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun to watch. He really turned it on here about the last 2 weeks of spring training. Started hitting for power, started hitting the ball all over the place. So, that outfield is going to be with Tommy Pham, Ozuna, and Dexter Fowler is going to be very, very exciting. The top three of those four are going to be at the top of your lineup. You had Matt Carpenter in there as well. They are going to score a lot of runs. I think this offense is much improved. I think this team really is going to revolve around pitching, starting pitching in the bullpen, how they can hold up. But I think the offense is going to be there, and they're going to score some runs.
So, you know, I think that I certainly was in the camp that was very excited about the Dexter Fowler acquisition. There were ups and downs last season, but I hear he's in pretty good form right now.
Yeah, he added some weight. He's about 25 pounds heavier, but it looks good on him. He hasn't lost his speed. He's in pretty good shape. He had a good spring training. He just got to stay healthy. He's got to stay healthy, and moving to right field is probably going to help with that. But offensively, you know, you get a second year with an organization. You come in after being the big guy and a lot of attention and a lot of expectation on you, and the team doesn't do very well. The second year, you can kind of settle in, especially you got Ozuna here who kind of takes some of that off. You can just fit in and be yourself. And so I look for a good year out of Dexter Fowler this year.
All right. Any other pluses or minuses as we begin this season officially tomorrow in New York?
I think the big thing to watch is going to be the defensive play. It was better for sure down here this spring training than it's been in the past. But if you have a Matt Carpenter at third base, if you have Jose Martinez at first base, defensively you're going to be a little bit weaker than if you have Matt Carpenter at first. But you got to get Jose Martinez in there. You got to get his bat in there. So that's going to be interesting to watch the defense. Jose Oquendo's back. How does that play? But all in all, I think this team has improved. I think they have a better chance this year, but they got to stay healthy. And I feel like you can say that every single year. Tommy Pham and Matt Carpenter in particular, those two really need to be healthy all year.
Be nice to get off to a good start. I mean, that doesn't make the whole
Absolutely.
Season, but we've seen good starts result in, you know, I always look at the Brewers from a couple of years ago. They had an awesome start April, May, and then they did not have, you know, June, July, August. I don't even know if they went .500 some of those years or some of those months. We talked about that at the time, and obviously that cost them at the end of the season.
Yeah, well, you just want to create momentum. So come out of spring training. Like I said, you haven't been in the postseason for the last 2 years. Fans are kind of a little bit on edge. Come out, give yourselves and the fans and everybody something to get excited about. See where that takes you. Go from there. It all comes down to health. And if they do have injuries, they have some guys in the minor leagues they can call up and plug those gaps and plug those holes. But it's really important for them to get off to a good start and let everybody know they're here, they're for real, and they're going to be a good team.
Baseball tomorrow on KMOX in New York. Of course, we got to wait a week, unfortunately, for the home opener. Tommy Ackerman and I will be holding down the broadcast on Thursday afternoon next week from near Ballpark Village. We had to change just a little bit by Shannon's because of all the construction. Kyle, I'm assuming I'm going to see you that afternoon.
I will be there, absolutely.
Our conversation with Kyle McClellan, sponsored by Ameren.
Play it safe during outdoor projects. Look up and avoid power lines. AmerenIllinois.com.
11:15 for the pregame tomorrow, and the first pitch is at 12:10. I think everyone is ready for baseball here in St. Louis.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, I did not watch Roseanne last night only because I was still on my deathbed and wasn't up to it. I had been binge-watching Sneaky Pete throughout the day. I went to bed very early. In fact, at one point I came upstairs last night because I was in my basement. My wife was watching. I said, hey, thanks for waiting for me to watch Roseanne. I bring it up because the ratings were huge. 18.2 million viewers, a 5.1 rating among adults 18 to 49. That's a better number than 60 Minutes. Now, total number, 60 Minutes beat it, but in those adult demos, even higher than that. Even This Is Us, the big show on NBC, this is way bigger ratings than any of the This Is Us episodes outside of the Super Bowl of This Is Us, which would be expected. So that is the highest rated entertainment telecast in 6 years among young adults, and ABC's best results since 2006. So as our audio cut of the day, I think we got to feature this.
Hey, everybody. This is the first dinner together we've had as a family in a long time. Let's try to survive it. Oh, yeah. First, let's say grace. Jackie, would you like to take a knee?
How could you have voted for him, Roseanne?
He talked about jobs, Jackie. He said he'd shake things up. I mean, this might come as a complete shock to you, but we almost lost our house the way things are going.
Have you looked at the news? Because now things are worse.
Not on the real news.
Oh, please!
Uh-oh, you don't want to talk about that.
You are fake news.
That's right. So I'm looking forward. I'm going to try to watch it tonight, I think. Roseanne, now that everyone's piqued my interest with big numbers from that. That is no easy, you know, task to balance humor with politics, especially this day and age. So I think that they're onto something. Perhaps if they can execute it. I've heard good things from people. I don't know how many people out there listening right now watch it, but I've asked a few people here around the building, and they thought it was pretty good. And by the way, I always liked the show Last Man Standing with Tim Allen, and that was an ABC comedy that sort of straddled the political lines, with Tim Allen being more of a Republican conservative type, and they weren't making fun of conservatives, which is, I think, what you see most often in entertainment. So that's our audio cut of the day. Total Information PM coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.